Good afternoon. Welcome to Around the Breakfast Table. We're going to have a little discussion today, and we've got a few people here with us, and I'll let each person introduce themselves.
Okay, this is Jean.
This is Lori.
Hi, Lori.
Hi.
Hi, Lori. And this is Janice. Okay.
And I'm Linda. Lately, Janice has been talking to us about Christ coming. And I had asked a question about grace. What is grace? And I wanted to know everything I could find out about grace. And Janice said, first of all, grace came by Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So can you expound on that a little more, Janice?
I sure can. In the Bible, it says grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So when Christ came to the earth, here is the coming of Christ, right? When he came physically, he came to the earth, and it says grace and truth he brought to us, the people. So grace is something spiritual. It's not something natural. Now, we're gracious to people. We can be gracious, but that is in the feeling and the thought area. And we can pass that on to other people, and they can feel that and feel welcome. So grace can be used that way, but there was more power in what Christ brought when he brought grace and truth. It was something that they had not experienced before. And so he brought this to mankind. And it's a really good question, Linda, about what is really grace and truth. But we do know when Christ comes, that's what he brings, is grace and truth.
So when we experience Christ coming again, he'll be bringing to us spiritually grace.
That is correct. He brought grace spiritually to them, but he physically came at the initial coming of physical birth of Christ. And his growing up, when he got into his ministry, that's what it says in the Bible that he brought to people, is grace and truth. He brought it to the disciples, and they went on and passed it on to other people. He'll be bringing grace and truth. So it's a good question. What is grace? I like that question. You know, okay, yeah, he brings it, but what is it? How will I know if I get grace or receive grace, or what does grace do, or what's all this grace that they're talking about in the New Testament? What is that?
Well, grace is supposed to be a power to cast out thoughts out of our mind that are not good thoughts or bad thoughts, hate, hurts, and fears. But we take a thought and we cast that out. We don't want that thought in our mind. That grace has a power to cast that out. Like a hate thought, then we got to replace it. We just replace it with a love thought, with love. But it's a process. We don't have grace, say grace one time, and all of a sudden, that's it. You know, everything's okay. We're saved, you know. But by grace are you saved. And that not of yourself is a gift of God. It's not nothing that we can do, but it has to come from God. And Christ had it within him, and he gave it to us so that we can cast these thoughts out of our mind that have been tormenting us for so much of our life. And then little by little, when we cast it out, we can replace it with some good thoughts of love, mercy, or kindness. And this is a process.
Jean, I just was going to say, so by grace are you saved. So what you're saying is we're saved from these kinds of thoughts. And then these kinds of thoughts are not holy thoughts, right? Destructive thoughts are not holy thoughts. Life-giving thoughts are holy thoughts. But destructive thoughts are sin, right? They classify the thought of foolishness as sin, or these foolish, devilish thoughts, destructive thoughts, only come from the devil, and or they're evil, kill our spirit. Mm-hmm. And God's going to save us or save us from sin, right? By this grace,
right,
we're saved sin. Very good. I just wanted to clarify that.
Yes, that's right.
So how do you use grace? Like a tool in the battle, that it is a battle, to get the evil thoughts out of your mind, because we want Christ to grow in our mind. The Bible tells us that Christ in you is the hope of all glory. We have to make room for him, because all of our life we've been taking in thoughts and taking in ways of coping and dealing with frustrations and difficulties and good things and bad things in our life. And some of the techniques that we've picked up along the way were introduced to us by evil. I don't know what to do. I don't really know very much about the Bible, but I know that this is bothering me and I've got to do something about it. And you call on God to give you grace, and that grace was made available by Jesus Christ. He opened his grace account for all of us to use to cast evil out of our lives. And what is evil? Well, someone says something to you and it sparks a thought in your mind, and it might just be something like, well, I just wish they would shut up. That isn't a kind thought. It's not a gentle thought. It's not a Christ-like thought. It's just a thought that you have grown through your lifetime. Okay, if you want to be Christ-like, if you want Christ working in you, you have to take that, I just want them to shut up thought, and use the grace to shut that thought up. God, give me the grace to get that thought out of my mind. Get it gone. I am growing Christ in my temple, and he doesn't want that shut-up thought. He doesn't want to live with that. He'd rather have some kindness planted there in its place. So you call on the grace. I call on the grace. God, get that thought out of my mind. Use the grace that Christ made available to us and pull that thought right out of the garden of my mind. I don't want it anymore. It may try to come back, but I know what it is now. And I have grace, and where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. So we have that grace as a tool in our garden for this purpose, to get those evil thoughts out of our mind.
In Zechariah 12:10, this grace was prophesied about. It says, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. So he was going to pour out this grace onto us. And then Zechariah 13:1-2 talks a little more about it. It says, in that day there shall be a fountain opened up to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. So that grace that he's going to pour out on the house of David, he also calls a fountain, and it's for sin and uncleanness.
That would be grace.
And, you know, I had never heard that before I started learning more about the Bible, that one of the great things about Christ is that we can get Christ in us. I had not heard that. I've been to a lot of my little churches and stuff like that, but I never understood that Christ could be in me. And it says, this was a great scripture for learning that, was there was a great mystery among the Gentiles, or about people that didn't know too much about the Bible, like me, that the great mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I thought, wow, I mean, that means get Christ in us. And so if Christ is getting in us, Christ came without sin. He knew no sin. And he was our example. So if I'm getting the Spirit of Christ in me, then I'm going to be without sin. But I do have sin in me, all these destructive thoughts that Gene says that we're perplexed with. Well, I got to get rid of those. Okay, so I need to have the truth in there, right? Definitely, if Christ comes, I'm going to have truth in there, words of truth that he brought. But I'm going to have something else to get rid of the sin dwelling in me. That's where, what's dwelling in me. instead of Christ, so I'm going to have to do something about that, which is use and learn about grace. It's for sin and uncleanness. It's a spirit. It's a power from God, as Jean said. So, hey, we have a spiritual power that we can access to get rid of, or you can say cast out, or throw out sin that's in our mind and replace it with what, as Lori said, with Christ, as the scripture says. You have something new growing within you, which is a mystery, but it's Christ within us.
So Christ is coming in us spiritually, and he's bringing grace and truth, and we want to abound in this grace.
And there's a scripture for that. As sin aboundeth,
yes,
and that's in Romans, as sin abounds, grace doth much more abound.
Mm-hmm.
So here we have the picture of what it's for. If you have sin going on, well, get the grace in there and get more of it so it overcomes the sin. Cast it out.
Yes, Romans 3:24 says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So here, we can be justified. We can be given life. We don't have to feel the death and the and torment in our minds, you know, going on all the time. But we can have this justifying. We can have this grace. And we can feel free, free indeed. He that is free, free indeed. Free from what? Free from sin. Those evil thoughts, those bad thoughts that's been tormenting us all of our life. We can be free and feel life again.
Amen.
Does anybody have any more scriptures that they would like to share?
I have one more here in 2 Corinthians 8:7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also.
Sounds like it's a vital thing to work on. So how do we get grace? We hear about it. Now exactly how do we get it and how do we use it?
Well, one thing I didn't realize until I came to this ministry, that the amount of faith and love and peace, even the amount of faith we have in God, it isn't just a measured thing that we can only have so much faith. We can pray to God to deepen our faith and deepen our faith and deepen our faith so that we have such great faith in God. So we can pray to him for that faith. We can pray to him to deepen our love for people. We can pray for this grace, that he fill us with this grace so that we can use that grace, cast out the bad thought, like Jean said.
Wonderful. Well, as it says, if we want to be saved, by grace are ye saved through faith. And
mm-hmm.
not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. So we can ask God for this gift of grace to use in our life and to have this power of grace over unclean spirits so that it can free us from them. They can go out of our mind and Christ can come into our mind by learning his truth. We can do some Bible study, read some of his words, find out really how to think, how to live our life, all that, and then work it so we can have the coming of Christ spiritually. As it says, this is a great mystery, Christ in you. So, you know, we may be expecting him physically, but we don't have to wait that long. We can get Christ in us and begin to get Christ and learn about him and get him within our mind and see how that mm-hmm. Christ thinks. Read about him and see how he thinks and how we're going to think by changing our life. Christ wrought changes. He changed the lives of many people. He changed the lives of Paul. He changed the lives of Peter. He changed the life of John. And how did he change them? They got Christ within them. They got his word and his spirit. And he came spiritually to them. So we can have the coming of Christ this Christmas or any other time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And we should be looking for his grace and truth. Well, have a wonderful week. Maybe you pull out your Bible, look at some words, or ask God for more of his spirit of grace and see Try a little thinking about a thought that's been tormenting you and ask God to remove it from you and put something very good in its place. So that's a coming of Christ to you, and we wish many blessings in your journey with Christ.
Praise God.